You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Guest today is Art from Philly, and his website is noplaceforcorruption.com. Art, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna, and thank you for taking my call. And hello, IBM.
Thank you for being on the program today. I have all of the documents that you emailed to me. I don't know where to start. It's kind of an awful thing that you mailed something about Spector and some of his shenanigans. You've talked about the Likud funding. You've talked about the Bronfman crime syndicate, the Bush-Annenberg business. Where do you want to start? There's so many things.
All right, we'll start with 9/11, and we want to thank the heroes who fought 9/11 and lost their lives, and the people lost their lives there, and realize that the real culprits of 9/11 have not been prosecuted and have gotten away with it. Okay?
Yes.
I would like to dedicate, a minute for the people who did die there, the firefighters, the police officers, and all the victims in the buildings. And let's go from there. Let's get a special thanks to the Friends of the Israeli Defense Forces, and one of their major, supporters, the Silverstein Group, okay? The one guy who basically owned World Trade Center buildings and for some reason just happened not to be there that day.
Right.
And he was meeting Netanyahu every Sunday for, lunch or whatever, for a year before the buildings blew up.
Right.
And then let's remember Chicken Hawk, Cheney, okay, who basically said he shot down the plane, the Flight 93 plane that basically came down in Pennsylvania. And he actually, that's recorded on YouTube, his own words saying that he did that. So the way you look at that is you can trace that right back to the JFK assassination, the same exact power group that killed Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and took us right up to 9/11, the same group. And part of it is what comes out of Pennsylvania. Let's talk about Spector now. Spector rose to power to first becoming a Democrat in Philadelphia. He was with the district attorney's office there, as was Ed Rendell, also became mayor. They lived in a tract of homes over in East Falls, just outside of Philadelphia near Conshohocken. Those homes were basically provided to Spector and Rendell, for that matter. There was a tract of 10 homes there by the Chicoleone family, the Conshohocken gangsters who basically were bootleggers all the way back from the 20s. So Spector rose to power on the Democrat side up to them. And that they paid for his house. All right. Then he switched to become a Republican, to Herbert Barnes of the Bucks County Republican Party. About within the first 2 months of when he switched parties, there was a guy who was a barber, and he used to go there all the time. Spector said, I can't see or talk to you anymore because you're on the other side. Apparently, that barber was so angry that had walked around with a sawed-off shotgun ready to kill Spector within the 2 months when he switched over to be a Republican, from what I've heard about people knew about the situation there. So Herbie Barnes ran the Bucks County Republican Party. He passed away. Now, he had basically, Barnes put Spector in power. That's his power broker. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Barnes put Robert Asher in power, who heads the Pennsylvania Republican Party. You might remember Asher as the convicted felon when our state treasurer, Butch Dreyer, blew his brains out on TV. Okay. Asher was involved with procurement of high technology contracts from the state of Pennsylvania. What happened is after this fact, after the Ladreira case, there was a guy who I worked with, Mr. DeWong, whose kids played soccer with Asher. And basically, he said, Asher said, I can get you high-tech contracts with the state of Pennsylvania. How interesting that a guy who's a convicted felon is working to get state contracts for other people. Now he has the Pennsylvania Republican Party, National Committee Man, as right now. A state senator, Joe Connie, out of the Bucks County Republican Party, I asked him directly, he said, what are you doing about Asher? He's a man of honor, fifth most powerful person in the Republican Party. I can't touch him. Well, Connie's father was part of the syndicate, so he obviously knew what he was talking about. That was back in the, you know, 80s when it was Cheney there, Bush, and there was a couple other guys there. So also in let's see, early 70s, I believe it was, there was what they called the Church of the Open Door in Springfield, Springhouse, Pennsylvania, which is in Montgomery County, adjacent to Philadelphia. There was a person who went to church there who argued with Robert Asher every day, every time they had church services, every Sunday for about 6 months or so. And in addition to Asher going to church there, his buddy, Arlen Specter, was going to church there also. So at the end of 6 months, this guy disappears off the face of the earth. No one knows where he is to this day. Okay? So this is part of what we know about Specter. Okay? In the early 80s, there was a guy named Billy Hogan who was dealing drugs out of Pennsylvania, at Ben Salem, Pennsylvania, which is in Bucks County. He went to Charles Pruitt Sr., a senior defense lawyer for criminal defense, and the dialogue went like this. Good day, Mr. Hogan. I see you got caught dealing drugs. It's a good thing you did it in Ben Salem, Pennsylvania. You're protected by Arlen Specter. So here's a man that had the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senate Judicial Committee, and he's protecting a drug smuggling ring out of the Philadelphia area. That drug smuggling ring's been going on since the late 60s all the way up to the 90s. Part of the involvement was with the Bucks County guys named DiGiulamo, who was the mayor there, and now his son Joey, who also got involved with drug trafficking. So this is some of the people that Specter hung around with. Now let's talk about how he got to the JFK assassination. Okay, he was appointed by Richard Swigert to go to the Warren Commission. All right, Richard Swigert's wife, Claire Swigert, was Miss Romper Room, a kids' TV show. So Richard Swigert and Claire Swigert would meet personally, almost every weekend, with this guy named Walter Annenberg. Okay? Walter Annenberg played a major role in the assassination of JFK. And again, that goes tying, I'll explain as we progress, tying right to the Bucks County Republican Party and the cover up at the Warren Commission. So who's Walter Annenberg? Walter Annenberg's the son of Moses Annenberg. Okay? Moses is the right-hand man of Capone, who was running the race wire, who was there at the National Crime Syndicate in Atlantic City when they set up the commission. Okay? And what was the reason they did that? You know, obviously to control, to syndicate the organized crime. And the cover story for that meeting was to celebrate the honeymoon of Anna Citron to her wife, to Meyer Lansky, who was there. So in 2010, I had a friend who was a lawyer in Bucks County, in Ben Salem, by the way, actually Houstonville, right next to Ben Salem. And this lady walks in, Santa Lombardo. My mom has dementia, and they wanted her help to get into a nursing home. Okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she verified who she was, Anna Citron, because she was living in a trailer park in the Pacific Northwest, suffering dementia. Somewhere between the Oregon and Washington border. That's where she came from. So it took a couple months to verify it. And then at the towards the end of it, Sandra Lombardo said, my mom's kind of infamous. And who was he? That was the same wife of Meyer Lansky, who was there at the National Crime Commission. Okay, the first wife of Myron Lansky. Also in my area, we have Joan Rivers, who opened up a real nice house in Bucks County. And if you remember, Joan Rivers was the one back in the mid-80s who basically gave the award to Mo Dellett for the Anti-Defamation League. Right?
Who did this?
Joan Rivers.
Okay.
The TV star. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And the late Joan Rivers.
Mm-hmm. The late Joan Rivers, correct. Okay. We also have a judge up here in Bucks County named Ellen Rubenstein. Said to him directly, Ellen, are you related to Jack Rubenstein? Yes. He's my father's brother, is known as the black sheep of the family. Ellen, are we talking about Jack Ruby, the one who shot Lee Harvey Oswald? Yeah, he's my uncle.
Okay. Whoa.
Great. Coincidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
No coincidence. Give me 1 second. I'm just going to take a drink. All right. So, Specter was, appointed to the Warren Commission through Richard Schweiker, okay, who had a close relationship with Walter Annenberg. Okay. Walter Annenberg worked directly with the CIA with Kurt Meyer in Operation Mockingbird.
All right.
Now, Walter Annenberg also had a close relationship with Herbie Barnett, his power broker. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now you can see, and also Herbie, let's say Walter Annenberg was closely related with, the pioneers of TV, basically bringing up television back in the 60s and 50s, back with the Sarnoffs and all that. And they were working directly with Cord Meyer of the CIA. All right, now you have the deathbed confession of E.J. Hunt. Okay? And he draws a diagram. And in there he shows Cord Meyer is responsible for the CIA's role in the JFK assassination. Then he points it to LBJ above him. Well, who was in charge of the CIA at that time? George Herbert worked with Bush. Okay? What Hunt didn't draw in the diagram, the missing block, was his direct ties of Kurt Meyer to Walter Annenberg. All right, so now you can see the ties between Bush, okay, Walter Annenberg, Richard Schweiker, and Arlen Specter, and how he went to the Warren Commission, directly controlled by the Cosa Nostra in the Philadelphia area. Now, it was definitely under control of LBJ, who told him to cover it up. How did LBJ rise to power? Okay. Joe Kennedy went to, Joe Bonanno out of Chicago area, I believe it was, and basically said, we need your help for JFK to win the election.
Is that true? RFK Jr. disputes that.
Okay. What is he disputing? I know that RFK, I have no place for corruption, that basically the fact that it shows a picture of JFK and RFK, they're basically standing really glum at the same day that basically Joe Kennedy, their father, says that the running ticket's going to be with LBJ.
Right.
And Joe Bonanno said that this is what, you can dispute it, but this is what I understand it to be.
Sure.
Is that Joe Bonanno said to Joe Kennedy, if you want our support to be on a ticket, then LBJ has to be the guy. All right. Now, if you read the book from Modello called The Hoffa Wars, he describes that there was a split in organized crime around 62, what they call the Southern Mafia and the Northern Mafia. Joe Bonanno became in charge of the Southern Mafia, who was his three underbosses. Okay? Sam Giancana, Carlos Marcellus, and Santos Traficante. Okay? If somehow somehow Joe Bonanno has nothing to do with the JFK assassination. I find that absolutely fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you were asking about NUMAC, I believe it was, with the Apollo affair with Ellen Shapiro and how they stole the nuclear material out of Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh.
Right, right. That was very interesting to me. Actually, I read a book about it. And Spectre had something to do with that. I'm posting a bunch of links in the chat room so that people can see the information that you sent to me. Hang on, just doing double duty here. Okay, this NUMEC thing.
Right.
Spectre, and there are documents that indicate that he knew about it. And NUMEC was a company that was dealing with illegal uranium. And they had actually two facilities, one in Apollo, which is like 35 miles north of Pittsburgh. And then they had another facility in Park. And both facilities were not really designed to be dealing with uranium. And what they were doing too was diverting this uranium illegally to Israel. And Spectre
covered it up
and got the got clearance for the president, whose name was Shapiro.
Zelman Shapiro, member,
yeah.
Zionist Organization of America, correct?
Right. Right. And the thing that was so awful about this is that they did not, it was kind of a depressed area, and so everybody in town got a job there. And the cancer rates went through the roof, absolutely through the roof. And the same thing in Park, the cancer rates were very, very high. And the worst thing, well, not the worst thing, another thing that happened was that when they shut the operation down, and nobody was prosecuted, but when they shut the operation down, it was the American taxpayer who had to pay for the environmental cleanup. And that cost the American taxpayer $170 million.
Right. Well, the interesting thing is nobody was prosecuted, right?
Right.
And the wonder, right. You got this guy that's on the U.S. Senate and Judicial Committee for 30 years, you know, since the JFK assassination, and nobody's prosecuted. I wonder how that happened. By the way, when he died, the power went to Dianne Feinstein at that point.
Wow.
So, right. All right. So, and there was a letter there basically all the way through the Obama administration that Spectre was trying to basically get Zelman Shapiro off the hook from being blamed for the Apollo affair, as they call it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A week before the material was discovered missing, Raphael Eaton, okay, of the Israeli Defense Forces, is over there talking to Zelman Shapiro. Okay. The same Raphael Eaton, who was the handler for Jonathan Pollard for his espionage against the U.S.
Right. And he was just one spy. He was
right.
Just one of dozens and dozens of spies.
Correct.
He just got caught.
Well, he got, just like Wall Street, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. When you take a couple of warehouses full of top secret material, you turn into a hog, someone's going to catch you just by the pure volume of what you're doing.
Sure.
Now, with Jonathan Shapiro, how did they channel the information? They went through Ruth Stella's husband, who was part of the Israeli Defense Force. Ruth Stella was the head of the Anti-Defamation League out of New York City. Okay, that's how they were passing the information through.
Right.
Right. So what happened to Raphael Eaton is shortly after the Apollo affair, he was driving his Volkswagen Jetta over in the harbor of Haifa in Israel. And on a really mild day, with the swells in the port of being about 2 inches high, Apparently a freak wave comes over, you know, and a telephone pole hits on top of his roof of this car, and he does him in. I think basically it was retribution for his role in stealing nuclear weapons material from the Apollo affair. And I think that's what happened to him is he got punished for that. But they still had the nuclear weapons material at that point.
Yeah, it's just it's really amazing all the stuff that that has occurred that is covered up by the U.S. government. And nobody, well, except for Pollard, got caught. It's just very upsetting, incredibly upsetting.
Right. Well, there was a book by Richard Sprague, not the Richard Sprague, it was at the Warren Commission. It was called Taking Over America 1-2-3, and mm-hmm. they talk about the power control group. That power control group is what we're seeing today. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
An example. You look at the JFK assassination. Who was one of the people in the CIA? Frank Wisner. Okay?
Right,
well, who's
right.
His, right. Well, who's his son? Frank Wisner Jr. Works for a law firm up in New York City called Patton and Boggs. Now, what did he do? Okay? Frank Wisner Jr. was the ambassador to India. Okay? Mm-hmm. And he also ran the India American Political Action Committee, India PAC, I believe. The one that Rajat Gupta, you know, the convicted felon in the mortgage fraud happened at Goldman Sachs. So you can see the role of the CIA opening up the H-1B visa immigration to this country to replace the U.S. labor with labor from India. By the way, India was a communist country during the Cold War. They weren't our friend. And I doubt that they're still our friend. Right. So people don't, you know, because I worked in high tech, most people don't see that little bit of connection there, that it was the role of the CIA to open up the avenues between India and America to allow that to happen. And how powerful has it gotten? Well, you got Ms. Harris there, who basically is a Hindu, who, you know, is basically the darling of Silicon Valley. And we can see how powerful they got. AOC, you know, she's another one. Her power broker was another person from India. You can see the, Bobby Jindal, who was the governor of Louisiana during the Katrina mess.
Right. And really, that was a very interesting situation because I believe that they actually they didn't bomb him, but they got rid of the dikes that really would have protected the area from the flooding, correct?
Correct. Now I'm going to share another side of the story, is No Child Left Behind, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Philadelphia, what happened is the city of Philadelphia ran into a debt. This is about 10, 15 years ago at this point. So they went to Governor Mark Swaker, who's the second cousin of Richard Swaker. Mark Swaker rose to power when Tom Ridge went down to head of Homeland Security. By the way, when Tom Ridge was elected, Robert Asher went around the convicted felon, you know, in the Bud Dreyer cases. This is Tom Ridge, the boy I want to basically be the next governor of Pennsylvania. All right. So Mark Swaker worked for Merrill Lynch in Princeton before he became governor. Okay. And I had friends call me up and said, there's a lot of kickbacks going on there at Merrill Lynch to get all the IT contracts, mostly from the, you know, H-1B visa shops. And another consultant called me up after the fact, and he says, there was so much corruption there, man. I saw like 20 managers, 20 plus, it might have been as high as 30, demand that they had swimming pools put in their backyards before they would give the Hindus the contracts for the IT services. So that's the environment that Mark Swaker grew up in, all right? Mm-hmm. Then Swaker's power brokers to become governor of Pennsylvania. One was Robert Asher, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The second one was Harry Fox, who was the replacement for Herbie Barnes when he passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one was Jim Nevels of the Software Investment Group. Jim Nevels mm-hmm. basically then became, just a little background on him, became head of the Federal Reserve Bank chapter of Philadelphia for his efforts in No Child Left Behind, thanks to the Annenberg Syndicate. Okay. He became the head of Hershey, chairman of the board of Hershey, the Hershey Foundation. I think they finally kicked him off when they realized how corrupt he was. So what happens is they set the Philadelphia School Reform Board, and Swaker appoints Dim Nevels as the guy to do it, to oversee it. And then there was massive corruption, you know, basically, you know, all the pay-for-play players getting all the contracts, privatizing the schools in Philadelphia Charter Act, creating charters. Okay. The one that got the most of the schools was the Mastery School System, owned by Jerry Lenfest, who worked for Waller Annenberg, okay, before he started his own business. And he worked for 17 Magazine for 17 years. So you see the direct connection for Lenfest to the ownership of Mastery Schools and the, you know, the Mafia, okay? Mm-hmm. And you see the same thing with Wallace Annenberg in L.A., which is the daughter of Waller Annenberg, the charter schools that she owns there. Now, it was the Annenberg School Reform Institute and the Annenberg Institute that recommended that Paul Dallas become the principal of the Philadelphia school system, all right? Mm-hmm. And he did such a great job there. I mean, he really did. He financially raped the city and the school system. So then comes Katrina, okay? And who goes to New Orleans to basically help rebuild Katrina and privatize all the schools? Okay. Literally half the schools in the state of Louisiana became privatized thanks to the work of Paul Vallis. Okay. Wow. And he's nothing but a friend for the Annenberg Crime Syndicate. Okay. He then went up to Bridgeport, Connecticut, tried to do the same thing. They found out about him. He was thrown out. What did he do next? He tried to run for mayor of Chicago, going back to his boys with the syndicate. Okay. Well, you got the second best. You got Miss Lightfoot there. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So. My gosh. Yes.
Right. As bad as she was, Paul Vallis would even be worse. And that's not saying much.
Right.
All right. So. Let's go from there.
How do you see, coming up, you know, up to date here, what do you feel about Trump and his association with Allison and the tribe?
Okay, the first casino in Atlantic City, what was it called? Resorts International, was financed and owned by Meyer Lansky. Okay, it was part of the Sands Casino interest. Donald Trump bought it directly from Lansky. All right?
Okay.
All right. The rest of the Sands Casino interests were sold off to Sheldon Adelson, okay? And Sheldon Adelson's a major contributor to Trump rising to power because he's, you know, a casino magnate. And Adelson pretty much is the guy on top of casinos, the casino business, which, by the way, he made $5 billion during his downturn. So that's what I see with respect to that. Now, you also get the same problem with Obama, okay, and I'll talk about Biden next. Obama basically rose to power through Chicago, Vandenberg, No Child Left Behind. He was basically introduced to Walter Annenberg, to Bill Ayers, you know, of the under, you know, what was the Weatherman, okay?
Right.
So you heard everybody talking about Obama. Did you hear one word about his power broker being directly tied to the Chicago Syndicate? And that his father's one of the founding members that formed a commission in Atlantic City?
Wow.
Right.
Yeah, well, he was a community organizer using Saul Alinsky-style policies, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Using and backed up by Walter Annenberg.
Right.
Right.
Gosh.
Now, let's see, Biden. But Biden Hillary grew up in the Scranton, Pennsylvania area, okay? Remember, what was the name of that thing? Back in 57, the Mafia meeting. Looks like we got a break.
Art, we're going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back with our guest. This third hour is Art from Philly. His website is noplaceforcorruption.com. We were talking about Trump and his association. We were talking about Obama and his associations in Chicago. And of course, Chicago has always been a corrupt city. And, it's been run, the whole pension plan here in Illinois is horrific. It's Illinois is not a good place tax wise to be living in with the taxes going through the roof.
Right. Now they're going to do it to every state. You know, you're just the beginning. I think you're in competition with New Jersey though. One thing I want to say about Trump, he's what people would call a good bad guy, right? Given the alternatives, he's far better than him, but at the same time, you know, basically you're still picking out someone who's coming from, you know, the corruption that we're talking about. So he's done a lot of things good. Every one of these politicians, none of them's done anything about the national debt except let it get worse. So it basically sends the country belly up. So that's, I think, his biggest downfall, not doing anything about the debt.
Sure.
So, right. Now let's talk about Biden, okay? Biden's far worse than any of them that I know of at this point. All right, Biden, like Hillary Clinton, grew up in Scranton, which is controlled by the Bufalino crime family. Remember Apalachin with Joe Barber there and all the mobsters got caught back in '57, I believe? Okay.
Yeah, I thought Hillary grew up in the Chicago area.
There isn't much difference.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't know what part of her time. She was definitely in Scranton part of her time growing up there.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So, now with respect to Biden, he basically, you know, has been a senator for the state of Delaware. Okay. If you know anything about the state of Delaware, it's controlled by the Brosnan Crime Syndicate. Okay. And I'll show you how to tie together right now with Biden. Okay? Now, I have friends who basically worked for DuPont. And they actually told me they knew DuPont.
Oh, gosh. They've been killing people since the 1700s.
Right, right. But they told me directly, they said, we know that DuPont's owned by the mafia. But how did that come about? It came about with the merger of Marathon Oil with DuPont. That's what brought about the Brosnan crime family coming in there, right? So Marathon Oil was basically part of the company called Aurora Oil and Gas, which also has Speedway gas stations that you might see around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Aurora Oil and Gas was owned by, Fisher. What's his first name? Is it Mike Fisher? I forget his name. Max Fisher, who was part of the Detroit gang, just like No Doubt. Murder Incorporated. So he basically, Max Fisher sold his interest in Aurora Oil and Gas to Marathon Oil, which is owned by the Brosnan boys. And then they merged in the mid-80s with DuPont. And that's how the mafia got into DuPont, the Brosnan crime syndicate did. Charlie Rose had an interview with Edgar Brosnan Jr., and he bragged that he was pulling in $1 billion a day in cash out of DuPont, just one company per day, which in 3 years amounts to $1 trillion. Now, one of the things that happened.
How was he doing that? Simply because of his influence or his, how did he do that?
He owned the company, okay?
Oh, okay.
What I know, he owned the company. And if you were looking at Charlie Rose's interviews with Edgar Brosnan Jr., he brags about how he was doing that. That's where it came. That's the resource I got from it. Straight from him saying, I'm getting $1 billion a day from DuPont. Okay.
All
right. So DuPont basically controls the politics of the state of Delaware. And Biden is basically bought and paid for by the Delaware politics, which means he's nothing but a front man for the Brosnan crime syndicate. That's how I see it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right about Clinton's roots in Scranton.
Yeah.
I never knew that. I just thought she was
was from the Illinois, or from the Chicago suburb area, which she may have been later on. But that's interesting that you brought that up.
Right. So one of the things I went through, and many other guys did, is went through family court, you know, where you actually had to see your kids at Checkpoint Charlie, and if you're 1 minute late or whatever, you know, they actually gives you a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Biden was the proud author of that, of ripping families apart, okay? And screaming at, you know, as a guy's basically a nickel short, he's a deadbeat, okay? So he made his money on the blood of children, you know, and he did it through the Protection from Abuse Laws, okay? Violence Against Women Act, okay? Which destroys legal protections against false accusations. I'm not saying, you know, they should have the cooling off period if somebody's life is in danger, okay? But it shouldn't be where someone can just go to court and say, I'm afraid of them. And then you basically face legal consequences where you lose your rights to your children, your rights to your home. You get a record for it and all that good stuff. You know, that's what Biden and Specter both did that with that Violence Against Women's Act. Okay. Now, I have a sister who's been through the violence. Okay. So I fully agree that you got to deal with them. A lot of the techniques for those people doing it need to be prosecuted. But you shouldn't do that in such a way that you destroy the rights of anybody out there by just simply making a verbal accusation, and then you go in front of a judge and says, I believe you're innocent, and I'll convict you, which is what happened to me. Okay, so that's really, you know, there's, you know, there needs to be some evidence and some concerns about it, you know. So I don't know where you stand on that, but I don't think.
Well, I think there's there's always been inequities in that kind of discord. And,
right.
One of the things that I have against all politicians is that they milk the system and make a lot of money. For instance, Hunter Biden, who made millions and millions and millions of dollars, because of his father's political connection. And so both of them, and Joe Biden, right now, I personally believe that the reason that he is running, or the reason that they are running him, because he obviously has some cognitive impairment. He's, he's what, 79 years old? He's never going to do a second term. I think they're running him to guarantee a Trump win.
That could be. Now, let's talk about his campaign. He started his campaign. First of all, he was basically, for 2 years prior to this, he was a supposedly professor at the University of Pennsylvania, the Annenberg University of Pennsylvania, making $800,000. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? All right. He announces that he's going to basically fight hate when he starts to his campaign. All right? Me being a registered hate criminal with the Anti-Defamation League, because I pointed out they're nothing but a front for the Breslin boys, that's how it goes. I just said, you're, you know. So I see where he's coming from. His backer, when he started out, was Mr. Cohen, one of the top executives of Comcast, which other people might hear it by the term communist cast. Okay? Comcast is direct connections back to the Annenberg and, you know, Operation Mockingbird media. It's involved there. And also, by the way, about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago at this point, they said anybody doing IT work now has to become a subcontractor to Randstad, which is an Indian H-1B visa job shop, biggest one in Europe. And who's basically one of their top employment lawyers for there was one of the top guys from Duane Amara's, okay? And what's his name? I can't remember. Stephen Friedman. Duane Morris is a close friend and grew up with Benjamin Netanyahu, who grew up in Philadelphia. Okay?
Oh, gosh.
Right. So you can see the direct ties to the Likud. And that's the EIA report, the illegal funding of Likud. Okay. Friedman and Netanyahu grew up in Philadelphia. There's another interesting fact, a guy who grew up here. His name was Stephen Schwartzman. Okay. Of, what is it, the Black, what's the Blackstone Group or whatever it is. And there was a direct connection between him and Jacob Schiff, okay? one of the founders of the creature Jekyll Island.
Well, I have some doubts. I have some disagreements with that, but we'll let that pass. That deserves another radio program. But go ahead.
Okay. All right. So Jacob Schiff basically, you know, was one of the founding members of the Federal Reserve Bank, Creature Jekyll Island.
Well, he is the one that promoted a central bank, but Congress created it. They had a full quorum in the House and in the Senate. What they've been doing is the Congress has been using the Federal Reserve as a whipping boy to blame everything on the Federal Reserve. If they are the mafia, Congress is the mafia that is using the Federal Reserve, spending more than the country has, and if they wanted to end it, they could. They created it, they could end it. And that's not going to happen. But as I say, it's for another program.
Okay. All right. Let's go off the trend there. So he worked with Kuhn and Loeb, okay, which was formed back in the Civil War, you know, as a result of cotton industry. So Kuhn and Loeb basically got merged into Shearson, American American Express, all those guys.
Yeah.
Shearson went belly up in 2008 over the mortgage meltdown there.
Right?
Who were the top executives of Shearson that went down, where the company went down? Steven Schwarzman and Peter Peterson. And they formed the Blackstone Group.
Wow.
Okay. So what a coincidence, right?
And yeah, there's no such thing as a coincidence. Oh,
right.
Gosh.
Right. Right. I hear what you're saying about the Federal Reserve Bank, but I also... and I agree with you. I mean, they got a printing press, and they're able to devalue our currency down to nothing, right?
Sure.
But that doesn't mean the Federal Reserve Bank's not tied in with the mafia, okay? And I
said
that earlier.
Well, when you look at Congress is using the Federal Reserve, but then you have to say, okay, who's controlling Congress?
Right.
And I think that we know because they've all pledged allegiance to a particular country.
Correct. Right. Yeah. So that, you mean that little country called Israel?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Our great friends, Israel, India, I guess Russia and China. We're friends like that who need enemies in the world.
Right.
So.
I got an email from a listener questioning whether India is communist, which I always felt that they were, of course, they were taken advantage of by England, by Britain. They just really used the free labor there, particularly in the textile industry. So I never saw them as being a communist country, but simply as a country that had been exploited, as so many other countries have.
I would say this to you, Brahmas. Brahmas is a hypersonic cruise missile. Built jointly with Russia and India, pointed at our American Navy. Does that sound like a friend?
I'm not sure.
Right.
It's something that I'm just telling you what I know and what the email suggested. But whether if they've gone together with Russia, which is a communist country. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on in Russia. And apparently Russia, is pretty much ruled by the same group of people as, the United States, from my understanding.
And who does India have a strong military alliance with? That little country in the Middle East that we just talked about?
Yeah. Which produces a lot of technology. Warfare technology as a result of theft of technology from the U.S.
Correct. Right. So is there any other questions that want me to proceed?
No, but we do have some callers.
All right, go for it.
Let's take some calls. James in Ohio. Excuse me. James,
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Deanna, you had mentioned earlier on your program that it's not an election, it's a selection, remember?
Yes, I did say that. It is a selection. We just get to choose. We think that we have this choice when we have no choice. Okay, these are the two parties. They've been selected by somebody else. You get either this bad guy or this bad guy or woman or whatever.
I'm not even registered to vote. If I did vote, I'd probably vote for a Libertarian candidate. They had to cancel or postpone their nominating convention down in Texas this year. I did attend once upon a time, their nominating convention in Manhattan. I was hoping David Koch would show up. I think he died 13 months ago.
Yeah.
But I know enough about the history of this. And Erwin Schiff was on a sales table when we were up there in 1983 was the name of the convention. But I appreciate your guests. I'd even give out my phone number to both of you out now if you'd talk later. I have your phone number up there, I think, Woodridge. And I was going to ask you something about Bill Benson. Do you know, have you met Bill Benson recently?
I haven't met him. I've got his books. And they're very good. They're excellent books. But I've not met him.
He came through Ohio in the 1980s, and we had something like a banquet at a restaurant here about a mile below the other 800 on the county line down here. Anyway, Benson is in his 90s, I believe. There's an extended family. His health's not terribly good. And I was writing you a letter. I haven't mailed it. A vehicle or car truck careened off the road, hit his home over in South Hall, Illinois. He had to move. His house was no longer fit to live in. I hope it was in summertime. But he's go on his webpage. He has an address, an email address, and a phone number to contact him very readily. But he knows more adventures that he and Red Beckman. And Red passed away 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
But,
right, I know that.
Okay. One other thing I'll add for both of you. Aaron Russo was interviewed, I think, by Alex Jones, and he's telling about the corruption in Chicago and having his nightclub closed down and the police raiding the place. Horrible matter. But Aaron Russo perished before we were listening to him. We played
all
twice.
Right, yeah. I met Aaron, I met him in a theater here that I went in an adjacent town. And had an opportunity to talk with them, and it's unfortunate, but he was doing some good things.
I have a problem now. I've had an eviction notice 8 days ago for a 30-day notice to leave this apartment, and I don't want to lose a lot of papers and other things I've had. I've been up to date on all the payments. I'm just having a terrible clutter and leaving boxes in the way, and it's not very attractive to other people who come here to rent. So I think this will be ironed out with the landlord sometime in the next few days, probably first of the month.
I hope so.
Is there a satisfactory time to give you a call sometime at home?
I'm here most of the time.
Okay. I appreciate immensely your guests. I wish I'd been able to listen earlier. I knew the 800 number was on my cell phone, so I've called in, but... Oh, my. You remember Dixon Cannon?
No.
I think he's from Ohio. He's down in Fort Worth, Dallas. They put him in prison because he was no longer taking the withholdings out of the paychecks for his employees. And when they put him in prison, I think, bribed the judge to do that to him. I might mention something else real quickly. There's an author down in the Tallahassee area. I think he's... has a web page about Government Accountability Institute, something like GAI.com.
Mm-hmm.
He's been interviewed repeatedly about the books. Peter Switzer, do you know about him?
Peter Switzer, I know him. Yes.
Okay. He would be delighted to talk about the corruption in Congress and how, basically, as you're pointing out, they're a mafia organization and more corruption than probably even the Federal Reserve.
Right.
But I better yield right now, and you'll have another call, somebody else calling in. I don't want to take all of the time.
Okay. Well, thank you, James. I appreciate
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's take Charles from Florida real quick.
How you doing?
Good, you?
Yeah, Deanna. I listen to your guests all the time on the show that comes before you. The what's his name from Rhode Island? Rick Adams show.
Rick,
yeah,
Rick Adams, right? Yeah, I was on this program a lot back in the day.
You ask about India. I would say that Modi of India is more like a fascist. He's allied to the people in Israel. I mean, he's a very closely allied to them. You know, of course, the Likudniks. Likudniks in Israel are Jewish fascists anyway, and they tend to ally with populist or fascist anyway.
Sure.
So Modi's right wing, this is the funny thing about it, is Hindutva section of his party, of the BJP, worships Adolf Hitler as a avatar of one of their gods. Get that. So I would say he's closer to being a fascist than a communist, but a kosher, very kosher fascist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you didn't mention about Pelosi's connection with the mob and Obama being pushed first by the Pritzker family.
Pritzker.
They're another mob connected Chicago family.
No kidding.
And yeah, basically that's all I have to say. If somebody else wants to get in, and
well, thank you, Charles. I appreciate your phone call.
Good hearing you again.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye.
Alrighty, let's real quick take John in Las Vegas. John.
Hi, Deanna. Art. I am John from California normally, but I'm in Las Vegas for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
Good caller. The first two guests, great, especially Mr. Harvey on the tariffs. I wish I could abscond more on that. But, Art, I heard you for a few minutes. I had to get off. I just came back on. About 9/11, there was it was William, the chief engineer in one of the towers, who was the last man out, reportedly, had a lot of things to say. That was hushed up. I don't know what happened to him, if he's still around, but that's a lot of stuff that should be reported more about and all that stuff. And the other thing with coming up with the elections, interesting. I've been a poll worker for the day I retired, and I enjoy it. Now, where I am from in California, in Livermore, they talked about the county. They're going to need poll workers. I don't know what they're going to do. Doesn't say anything about the mail. I don't know. They're talking about working 4 days, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, or Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And I don't know. Maybe we're going to count votes. I don't know. I think they shouldn't do that. They go in. They can work doing the polls safely and all that stuff with the COVID. But it's interesting to see what happens. So, like I said, thanks a lot for all your stuff, Deanna. Thanks for bringing on these people. And take care. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. Thank you so much for your phone call. Okay. Gosh, there is so much going on. So many things to talk about. And Art, you're just a wealth of information. And I really appreciate all that you offer each time that you're on the program. And it's kind of overwhelming to realize that there's so many crooks. That the crooks are running things. They're running things.
Well, they're not. I can say this because I've actually supported elections. Their power base is razor thin. It doesn't take much to topple them over. I've already taken out people in elections.
Well, you know, that would be a good thing to do.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Art, and take care. We're out of time. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Chat with you next week. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.